Thanks, buddy. Morena, te whānau. We're continuing our sermon series on the book of Psalms. It's a fascinating time in human history with all that's going on at the moment, right? There seems to be quite a lot happening. I'm watching this series on Netflix called The Turning Point, you know, from the Cold War till today, and just watching the events of history from the end of World War II to where we are today. And it's kind of mind-blowing how much things have changed in less than 100 years and really where we're poised at. And it's fascinating how our view has changed as humans, but in particular as Christians, I think we've got very much a big distrust of a lot of things, media in particular. We've got a lot of negativity going on around, and it's fascinating how we respond. And this is basically how we are responding, right? It's like the end times machine has ramped up incredibly. And it's fascinating that we are faced, whenever we face these difficult issues around the world, an element of our faith has to turn to this. Has to turn to this element of doomsday, end of times. You know, Israel gets into a bit of a rough match with Palestine. Oh, that's the sign of the end times. Or, you know, Russia invading Ukraine. That's the sign of end times. And yeah, it just kind of worries me that we think this way. It worries me that we think that when these things are happening, for some of us, our immediate response is to say how bad the world is, or you know, this is the end times, you know, come, Jesus, come. Whereas the early church must probably reacted quite differently. They lived in a time of oppression. They lived in a time of persecution. And rather than, you know, kind of dwell on this, how bad the world is, they just got on and did the job. One thing we're going to be looking at this morning is Psalm 23, and this idea that when things are dark, when things are gloomy, when we can't really see the sky anymore, our focus doesn't need to be on how do we work our way out of this. Our focus always needs to be on Jesus, right? Here's the psalm. It's a really simple, it's only 10 verses. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David, King David wrote this psalm at a time when darkness was really kind of creeping all over him, kind of backed into a corner, not knowing what will happen, where he could go. And for some of us today, I think if we look on a world stage, we think, how's the world going to recover from this? It's fascinating. In this documentary, they said, you know, the Cold War was scary, right? And for those of us who lived through it, when you went to school, you were forced to learn how to duck and cover if an atomic bomb hit. Today, we talk about duck and cover when there's an earthquake. But an atomic bomb, how do you survive an atomic bomb with the duck and cover effect? I still haven't figured that one out. But, you know, there was all these things going on, and you'd be scared, you know, someone's going to push the button someday. And now they're talking about, well, that was the Cold War. We're coming into an era of what they're calling the Hot War. That tensions are so high around the world that actually the chances of somebody doing something silly are quite high. It hasn't actually stopped. It's gotten worse. Now, that's on the world scale. Maybe for some of you personally are feeling a bit overwhelmed with your own lives, where you're at. This darkness is creeping around you, kind of wondering, how am I going to get out of this hole? And the more I try, the deeper I feel like I'm going in. Well, this was David's answer. It was this psalm. So he first tackles this idea of how will God look after me? How will he provide for me in this moment of darkness? Verses 1 to 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, and he makes me lie down in green pastures." Now, it was fascinating because when you go online and you type in this verse, verse 2 of Psalm 23, you get these images, which look wonderful. Most of it is Scotland or New Zealand. Now, David had no idea where Scotland or New Zealand was. In fact, David, as a shepherd who shepherded his sheep and goats to the south of Bethlehem, the best time that Bethlehem ever looked, looking south towards the Dead Sea, was like this. This was in 2012, around the end of March. We were in Israel, and a rabbi was teaching us through the book of Exodus, and he stopped us at one point. He goes, "You know this Psalm 23 when David says, 'You let me lay down in green pastures'? This is what he's talking about." Now, it looks kind of green because a lot of it around it is arid, but if you go up close, it looks like this. I don't want to lay down in that. What is that about? Come on, David, you can do better than that. Now, there are other areas of Israel, and today in particular, irrigation has done a lot of good work to bring, you know, a lot of crops to grow in Israel and stuff. And if you go north to Galilee, it's quite green because there's a lot of rain up there and, you know, and stuff. But down where, you know, to the south of Bethlehem, that's what it looks like. And it's fascinating because he's saying, "I lack nothing. You make me lay down in these green pastures," which is very rocky, and there's only little bushes here and there. And then he says, "You know, you let me, it leads me beside quiet waters, and he refreshes my soul." And that's really, that's all he needs. That's everything. I lack nothing. Today, we pay a lot of money. Believe me, I work in the travel industry. We pay a lot of money to find green pastures, quiet waters, and refreshing spots, kind of like this, right? Now, I don't know if any of you have been to a place like that, but I can assure you, if I had a week there, I'm pretty good. You know what David gets? He gets this. And he says, "I lack nothing." I think sometimes when we think of who we are today and, you know, the kind of circumstances we're in and where life and all, you know, what we think of what we lack and what we have just gets kind of lost. For David, it was enough to just see some green patches and it made him happy. That was his lack of nothing. Regardless of where the world's at, regardless of what leader has decided what or what government is in power or not, if your heart is in the Lord, you lack nothing. Because you only need a little, not a lot. We talk about his provision. He opens up and he focuses immediately on how God provides for him in the little, and that means actually it's a lot, but he also gives him direction. He also kind of stops to think, not only do I have to kind of think, "What have you done for me, God? Oh, this is awesome, I've got this," but he also gives me direction. It goes on, "He guides me along right paths for his name's sake." Now I find there are things in the Bible that I get fascinated with, words, little comments that pop out that we kind of sometimes overlook. And when we're quoting this verse, this psalm in particular, this word, "for his name's sake," well, this little sentence, we don't really look at that. We go straight to the next verse, which is, you know, even if I walk in the valley of the shadow, it gets overshadowed, right, by that verse. But this is actually really important. "He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake." Now, there are some in our Christian world that like the word empowerment, like to feel like we have God's power within us to do whatever God wants to do through us, or that we can do whatever we can with his power. We use verses like Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So when you ask from God, ask not just $10, but $1 million. Anyone heard that one? Or then Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This idea that the power that God can do through us is amazing. Look what we can do through God. But this is not what this verse is talking about. Neither of those two verses. Actually, it's got nothing to do with through us. It's all about what he can do in us. That's the power. That's the power. You all don't realize how stubborn you all are. I know how stubborn I am. It takes a miracle sometimes. You'd think, God, how can you handle that guy? But it's the power, what he can do in me, in you. It's far greater than what he can do through you. I think some of these brothers and sisters of ours have got it kind of flipped over. They ignore what's going on inside of them and just start acting out rather than actually need to look inwards. The world wants you to change for your benefit. It's all about how you can do so good. But God changes you for his benefit. For his name's sake. And I think that's the difference. We are a walking testimony of the power of God. Just you yourself. You don't need to actually do any more than that, because he has changed you from the inside out, or has he not? Have you encountered the power of being changed, or have you not? God wants to change you for his benefit. David is struggling in what's going on with his king, King Saul, who's kind of going off the deep end, making some pretty poor decisions, wants to kill David. David sees his own nation, Israel, falling apart. He sees, you know, other nations springing up. He sees himself cornered in a cave, alone. Told that he'd be king, but doesn't see that going to happen anytime soon. And no matter what he tries to do, it's just not working. So not only does he look to God to say, hey, I need your help here, God. I also need your direction so that I can fulfill what you want in me. Provision, direction, and protection. Because let's be frank, it is a scary world out there. I was talking to one of our members, been made redundant like 3 times in the last 5 years. He's trying to support a family. He's trying to have some element of normality. And he doesn't know what's going on. Others of us who have been made redundant just feel like every time we try to do something good, something right, something bad happens. And David's like that right now. In this psalm, he's in the middle of it, this darkness. What's going on? And he calls out. He says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If you go to Psalm 121, before I get to that, he starts off. This is the beginning of Psalm 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? Where is this guy? If he's saying that, where is he? He's in the valley, right? If he has to lift his eyes to the mountains, he's in a valley. And so the question that we're challenged with is, do we trust the shepherd or do we fear the moment? Do we trust that God has this? Or do we just live in fear for the moment? It's actually easy to live in fear, right? It's harder to trust, mainly because it's hard to see over the mountains. It's hard to see anything, really. There's two things I want to share with you out of this verse. First thing is, I walk through the darkest valley. I'm going to use an analogy I use with a friend of mine here in our church who's here with us this morning. I'm sure he won't mind me using this. But when he was down and out, I kind of used the valley to describe Thai Happy. Thai Happy, have anyone been to Thai Happy? It's in a valley. It's kind of weird because you drive down into it and then you drive by back out, right? Past the steakhouse on the left on the way out, by the way. Now, I don't know about you guys, but to me, it's kind of a weird little town. It's a bypass. Living there would be weird. And I actually know some people who have been born and raised there. And I try to remind him that Thai Happy's okay to drive through every once in a while. And sometimes it might even be okay to stop for a cup of coffee. Not okay to live there. Anyone from Thai Happy, by the way? I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm just using the analogy of a valley. I could use other towns, but hey, that was the easiest one to pick. For some of us, sometimes when we are going through the valley, we get paralyzed and we stay there. We don't move. It's fascinating that he says, I'm walking through. That means there's going to be some point he's going to come out. He doesn't stop. He doesn't park or pitch his tent. He doesn't live at the McDonald's there or the BP across the road. He goes through. And I think for a lot of us, sometimes we get fixated, we get caught, and we stop. The valley is a place that we all will end up walking through at some point. It's a place where we will always, at some point in our lives, find ourselves in. The question is, do you want to stay there or are you walking through? Don't get stuck in Thai Happy. And the second thing I want to share with you is this, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Discipline's not something we like to talk about because it's been abused over the years. Churches have used it to kind of keep people in line. It's not done well. But actually, this is a really important aspect of our Christian walk. The rod is there to protect you. Any animals that come and attack you. I was having a fun old time talking with Belle yesterday and I didn't realize that there used to be lions in Greece. Did you know that? There were wild animals like lions and leopards in Greece. And I'm like, oh, there's definitely no lions or leopards other than the zoo at the moment in Greece. But way back when, there used to be these wild animals. And of course, we read in the Bible that in Israel, in the whole Levant region, there were lions, and you see some Assyrian kind of cuneiform pictures that they've got up of them attacking and hunting lions. They had wild animals then, and he's talking about the rod to protect you from these wild animals. But there's also a staff, and anyone who's been a shepherd, but we got some farmers here. The staff is used to keep you in line. We don't think of that very much as Christians because, you know, as Baptists in particular, priesthood of all believers, we kind of do our own thing, right? But every once in a while, we need a staff. Every once in a while, we do need to get that little nudge. for me, at times it's not a nudge, it's a, you know, kind of a cricket hook job there, bang. But we don't talk about this much. Why? Because it's difficult. Who's going to tell you to keep in line? How are we ever going to listen to somebody tell us to stay in line? And what does that line even look like? But it's an important element of our own growth and in our walk. That if we're honest with each other and that we call out what we feel needs to be called out, but doing it in a way that's loving, because we don't want to push our own viewpoints on each other, but we want to help each other grow. I have a horrible way of, whenever I say goodbye to people, especially to our females, I say, bye, sweetie. And I've had three daughters in my life, my wife, I've got two sisters, so everyone's a sweetie to me. But I was on Sunday, last week I was hosting a Baptist pastor's meeting, and I drove an elderly woman who's one of our caretakers of a church, and I drove to back and I said, see you, sweetie, it was good to see you. And she stopped and she came up to me, you know, Rob, don't call me sweetie. And I just went, she goes, no, it's okay. I appreciate it, but please don't call me that. I don't think it's appropriate. Okay, woman. No, I didn't do that. But that's my defensive, yeah. Anyway, yeah, but she pulled me up and then she walked away and I just kind of sat there and I thought, oh. And then she walked back and she gave me a hug. I don't mean that in a bad way. And then she walked away. And then I thought, oh, that's cool. Okay, mental note. Try to watch how you say things. Don't palm them off like that. Don't be so flippant about what I say. Okay, cool. Those kind of things help. And sometimes something even stronger helps. Because this is how God operates, and especially when we're in the valley. Because when we're in the valley, everything happens. All our junk falls out. Our emotional vomit comes up. All the yuckiness that's in us begins to surface. Why? Because we're vulnerable. Why? Because we're fearful. Why? Because it's a self-defense mechanism. In those moments, while we are like that, we blah. It's fascinating. I've noticed in myself, I shared this last week, in the way I've been interacting, and I've had to have a conversation with Mon and tell her, I'm just not doing really well when everything is on my head. I begin to do what? I get grumpy. Who gets grumpy when there's too much going on? Who gets short when you feel like the world is coming upon you? And who do you take it out on? The cat? I wish I could. We take it out generally on those around us, those who don't deserve it. And sometimes that's where the staff's needed. Even though I walk through the darkest, I walk through the darkest valley, I'll fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. They protect me, they direct me, they keep me walking. So, we've got provision, direction, protection, and it ends with hope. I love this because he doesn't just dwell the whole time in the valley. It's not all about the bad things that are going on. In fact, he doesn't even care about the bad things anymore. It's all about what is in store for him. And he goes on, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what? I might be stuck in the valley right now, but I know what's to come. I know that you've got everything ready for me, Lord. I know it's going to be a hard slog, but at the end of the day, I know you because I have that hope. And when I talk to people today, when I'm at a cafe or just walking down the street and I encounter someone, they look at me and they say, the world looks like crap, Rob. And I tell them, yeah, but God is good because I know there's more than just this life. I know there's more than just this existence that we need to endure. I know there is something more. And boy, does that make me happy. Because if I didn't have that, So rather than focus on end times, rather than focus on the wrath of God, rather than focus on the whole world blowing up, let's focus on this, the hope we have in Jesus Christ. And this week's perfect for it. Perfect for it. Abraham, God tells him this. There's a thing about the Bible, when you bring it all together, there's a thing that comes out that's so loud and clear, that even though you walk in the valley, even though everything looks horrible, he is with us. Abraham, God says to him, I will be with you to bless you. To Jacob, he says, I am with you to keep you. To the nation of Israel, he says, I am with you to strengthen you. To the prophet Jeremiah, I am with you to deliver you. To the nation of Judah, when everything seemed to be going down and they were getting yanked over to Babylon, they were going to lose their land, God says this, I am with you to save you. And Jesus Christ, in his last words to us, to you and to me, he says this, I am with you till the end. You get the theme? And in Hebrews, the author of Hebrews feels the need to repeat God, what he said back in Deuteronomy. He says it again, so the link between Old Testament and New comes across. Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. Amen? The power of the hope we have. Oh, man. And this week just sums it all up. Sums it all up. So if you feel right now that you're in that valley, if you feel that the world looks like it's the whole place is in a valley, let me assure you, God's got this. And don't worry. People might tell you, we're in a battle. I can tell you who wins. Let me tell you the end story. That will help you understand. It's like watching a movie and you get real nervous about how it's going to end, but you already watched it. You know what the ending's going to be like. Right? We know that. Let me assure you, he's got this. Hang on to the hope you have in Christ Jesus. Ask our music team to come up. Let's pray. Father God, the valley at times feels like it's really dark, feels like it's really wide, and feels like there is no end. And I pray, Lord, for those of us who have stopped, have pitched their tents in that valley, that you give them the strength, the assurance, the peace, the love, the hope they need to be able to get back up and keep walking. May your rod and your staff be a comfort to them. And for us, Lord, as we look around the world today, every time I open up my news feed, it feels like something, another bad thing has happened. But we don't need to counter that with our bad thing by telling everybody the world's ending. Rather, we want to tell them about the hope they have in you, Jesus. We need to hear that. The world needs to hear that. And especially this week, Lord, give us a mind to be focused on that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Let's